Okay, thank you. So Psalm number 71, and we'll read through first, and then we'll reflect and take away hopefully some good insight for our time of prayer. Starting in verse 1, in you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace. May they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, till I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed, and my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. Amen. As we read this psalm, we see the writer really, you see a lot of prayer requests in this psalm. When we think about our time of prayer, we see a couple things we can think about. Lots of requests from the writer. We are aware that the writer is in an old age and his strength is spent. We see in verse 8 and 9, or in verse 9. So we see this vulnerability in his prayer that his strength is spent. He's not as strong as he used to be and he is older. So that comes out a couple times and later in the psalm as well. And we also see something very interesting because this, not really a surprise, but the psalm, the writer is in a pretty precarious situation as we see many of the psalm writers in, especially David, where in the psalm he says, my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. So he's got wicked people after him who want to pursue him, to consult together against him, seize him, and destroy him. And they are seeking to take advantage of him when his strength is spent, when he's old and vulnerable. So we see that. But another thing you'll see as you read through is you see just recurring praise to God at different points in this psalm. And we'll just kind of walk through verse by verse and draw some of those things out. So he starts off in verse 1, setting up God as his refuge and acknowledging God as his refuge. You are my refuge. Let me never be put to shame. And there's one request. As I take refuge in you, Lord, keep me from being put to shame. Again, I've never been put to shame. Keep me from being put to shame because you're the only place I'm going. You're my refuge. And then this request to rescue in verse 2, rescue me, incline your ear to me, save me, deliver me in your righteousness. So he's in a precarious spot with enemies. Be to me a rock of refuge. I love this, to which I may continually come. And if you think about this person as the writer is older, you can think about how he has continually gone to God and he wants to continually go to him even now. He doesn't just say, just be a rock to me again. I want to be able to come to you continually, future, over and over. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. So there's a lot of confidence the psalmist has in verses 1 to 3 in setting God up as, you're my refuge, you're the only one I come to. Let me not be put to shame. Just save me, rescue me, my rock, my refuge, my fortress. Setting God up as his stabilizer. Rescue me in verse 4, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, for they grasp the grasp of the unjust. From the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. So his enemies again, the wicked. He sets God up in verse 5 as his hope. For you, O Lord, are my hope. And then he says, my trust. You're my trust from my youth. So the writer has trusted in the Lord from his youth. And this is amazing in verse 6. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. This is amazing. God's people are chosen before the foundation of the world, right?
That's right.
And he is confessing, the writer, that he has leaned upon God. And we know this is an older person writing this psalm because he tells God this. And he's leaned on God from, not since he was a child. And, oh, my kid became a Christian early and he knew God early. And so since he was 4, he leaned on, no, he says, I've leaned on God since before I was even born. I thought, I've been showing this picture a lot. I don't know if you can see it very well, but that's our daughter. You can see her profile a little bit there, zoomed in on her face. You can just kind of see the side of it. And it kind of went away. Kind of hard to see. I can show you after, but see her nose, her lips, her neck, her chin, and the roundness of her skull. And I pray that all my kids are called and predestined to come to Christ. And if she is, she's leaning on God right now. And think about that.
Sorry.
And so the psalmist says, he launches in and says, my praise is continually of you. He says that right after talking about, I've been dependent on you since before I was born, since before I could do anything to affect my situation. That's when I was dependent on you. He says later on in verse 9, do not cast me off in time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. So you see this kind of beginning of life to end of life dynamic where he's saying, I've been dependent on you since before I was born. When my strength is spent, please don't forsake me. Don't leave me now. And it's just amazing that you think about what you could do to help God whenever you were like our daughter in that picture, leaning on God. Is nothing. You couldn't do anything. God doesn't need your help in protecting you or keeping you in him or saving you or being your refuge, doesn't need anything from you. And there's no difference when your strength is spent, when you're older, or when you're a young person who's got plenty of strength. He doesn't need any of your strength. He's going to keep his promises to us. He's going to remain faithful to us. For my enemies speak concerning me, we read this part, that they're looking to take advantage of weak spots, strength being spent. God has forsaken him. He says, do not cast me off. And then he says that the enemies say, God has forsaken him. This is the concern, that if you forsake me, God, my enemies are just sitting there waiting to take me down. And I'm not going to have any, I'm not a young person anymore. I don't have any strength to fight them. And I'm totally dependent on you like I was since before I came into the world. In verse 12, this prayer, oh God, be not far from me. Oh my God, make haste to help me. It just strikes me, this dire circumstance. May my accusers be put to shame. But he says, but I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. You see this praise kind of building more and more. He says, I will. This is future. He's not saying, I praised you because you, saved me in the past and I'm done now. I'm really worried about this one. It's like, I'm going to praise you more and more. Be not far from me. My hope is in you. I will hope continually. And then what he says about, the confidence in verse 15, my mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. Turns out when God's righteous acts towards his people are beyond counting, which if you're a Christian, they are that to you, that it takes you all day to tell of those righteous deeds, those righteous acts. And that should be, it really strikes me that we should have our mouths filled at all times with praising God for all his wondrous deeds towards us, all his goodness towards us, his righteousness. With the mighty deeds of the Lord, I will come, I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. And he goes kind of back to the youth, his time of youth, whenever, in verse 17, he ties back into that, this time of youth and this time of old age. Oh God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, oh God, do not forsake me. Again, it's worried. Don't forsake me here, God. Don't forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, oh God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, oh God, who is like you. That's an amazing prayer to have. Don't forsake me, don't leave me until I can tell others about how great you are. I mean, that's amazing. Only God can give someone that desire. Who is like you? Who is like our God? There are none like our God. You have made me see many troubles and calamities. You who have made me see those things will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me. And then he launches into the pinnacle of praise in this psalm. You've seen the praise throughout. I think I marked them here. It would kind of read in piece by piece, but he praises God in so many places. In verse 6, my praise is continually of you. In verse 8, my mouth is filled with your praise and will with your glory all the day. Oh, I mean, I wish anyone could say that about me. Is, John, his mouth is filled with God's praise and his glory all day. You're ever around him. That's what I want people to say about me, because it's true of me. That's a great prayer to have. Fill my mouth with your praise. So there's another instance of praise. And then you see, verse 14, and I will praise you yet more and more. And then my mouth will be filled with your righteous acts. You see it throughout, and it culminates here in verse 22 and 23. I will also praise you with the harp, bringing in things beyond himself. I'm going to utilize gifts and beautiful music to praise you. For your faithfulness, I will praise you, oh my God. I will sing praises to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. Is he not praying for help in the psalm? Do not forsake me. His enemies, wicked people, are after me. So he's has this confidence in God, not in himself. My tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. So we see here, and I just drew out, just outlined some of the prayer requests that this psalmist has. He says, let me never be put to shame in verse 1. In verse 2, deliver me, rescue me, save me. Verse 3, be my rock, my refuge. Verse 4, rescue me. Verse 9, do not cast me off, forsake me not. Verse 12, be not far from me, make haste to help me. Verse 13, may my accusers be put to shame. Verse 18, do not forsake me. All these requests in here, yet all this praise in here and confidence in who God is to deliver him. And that's the God we serve this morning. It's the same God that we serve, that we're reading about in the psalm. He's worthy of praise. He's faithful to us. He is everything we need when we can place our hope in him and not be put to shame, as the psalmist writes. His confidence is not misplaced. He's not, and remember, he's balanced. He's got people, he's got real problems. He's got an enemy. He's got wicked people after him. And he expresses that he's vulnerable. And his prayer isn't, he doesn't not pray. He doesn't say, Lord, you're good, and praise you. He says, I need help again. I need you to not forsake me now in this situation. He's still coming to God for that grace, that manna today. And he's still praising God. So praise the Lord. And hopefully we can give the Lord the praise due his name in our time of worship this morning, and in song, and in preaching of the word. I should point out that the references, verse 9, do not cast me off in the time of old age, forsake me not when my strength is spent. He doesn't explicitly say, right at this moment, I am old. But you kind of, at least this is how I'm interpreting this, is that in verse 9, the situation seems to be tied to his age and his vulnerabilities. Because he does say, when my strength is spent, could be a future time. But it seems to tie with the current situation that he's not wanting God to forsake him in his age, in the current situation. So I would think that this writer is aged. So, but praise the Lord, and hope this psalm's encouraging to you, and encourage you to read over it a few times on your own and just look at all the trouble versus the praise versus this guy just asking tons of things of God. Rescue, save. You're my refuge. Be my refuge. I'm going to praise you all day. And this writer really will challenge you. Look at yourself and see how much praise of God is in your mouth or how much it's not. I know it's convicting to me. But praise God for his word. And so, again, this is the God we're coming to this morning, who is always faithful to his people. And with that in mind, this faithful God that we get, who will incline his ear to us because we're his people, do we have anything we want to bring before him as a congregation this morning to pray about?
It's amazing saying that she is dependent upon the Lord and for all of your future daughters. At the same time, she testifies to
the Yeah. Right.
So, she's very powerful too.
Yeah.
May the Lord, you said it all. Bless him. Give the salvation.
Amen. Thank you. Yeah. Definitely.
Powerful visual to the picture of eight fighters that we have. The people make decisions. Or the protected alive, it's like hers.
Right.
It's a prayer that still this nation, state, sad state here, it's fallen to the point of swaddling and over who can't stand. Let's make it so. Act as first to the false to the inside.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, same time, you still praise God. That will have deliverance.
Yeah.
But we can still pray.
Yeah.
So that's some.
Yeah, definitely. We can pray about that for sure. Anyone else on Zoom, feel free to type or speak up if you have anything we can pray about here. And if you want to pray on Zoom, always feel free to jump in and pray. Anyone else? Well, why don't we go before the Lord? I can open us this morning and, you know, pray as you feel led. Brother Mark, would you mind closing us today? Thanks. Dear Lord, we come before you again in the name of Christ and fully aware, Lord, that you have given us the ability to come before you through your Son, Lord, that you even hear our cry. You bend your ear towards us, as the psalmist says, you incline your ear. He asks for that. We're asking for that, Lord. This morning, we're asking that you hear our prayer for our lost loved ones, Lord, as they're always, Lord, burdens that we carry that you've given us, Lord, you want us to cast upon you. So we're doing that this morning for those who we love who do not know you, Lord, that you would show yourself mighty to save, Lord, that we would have another thing to continually praise you about, Lord. We ask, Lord, Lord, you know all as it pertains to this decision that was made this week, Lord. You know all you, that is happening, Lord, in secret, openly, Lord. You know all hearts, you see all. And Lord, we just ask, Father, that you would intervene, Father, that you would intervene on behalf of, Lord, these senseless murders that are happening, Father. Lord, and the wickedness that's happening, Lord, in our own city, Father. Lord, it seems like but we know only you can do something about it, Lord, and intervene. Lord, you use means, Father. We pray that you would give wisdom and, Lord, wisdom that we don't have today. Get your people praying, Father, on this, around this issue, Father, that should never be an issue. Lord, it strikes us as an atrocity. Lord, an abomination. And how much more does it strike you, Lord? How good are you to even allow people who commit such grave sin, Lord, to even take another breath, Lord? But you've done that for us when we were sinners. Lord, you're mighty to save. You know all. Lord, we come to you this morning asking for help with our ears and with Brother Mark as he preaches, and with our hearts when we seek to sing to you, Lord, that that would be pleasing to you, that we could see you, Father, as more valuable than we do, Lord, right now, or that we could get a better glimpse of who you are, how precious you are, Father. Lord, we look to you to lead us and guide us. We pray that you would do that in Christ's name.
Oh God, we bless your name this morning and thank you. Gathering your people together, how sweet it is. As a mind of Christ, have thoughts directly with the will, your praises. But how content it makes us be in your presence with the brethren, strengthen one another, prayers, thoughts, and our exhortation. Yes. Bless us in this abundant blessings, instructive, courage. Bless with your spirit, Lord. Praise you. Thank you for this great little praise and faith. We love you. Thank you.
I pray, Father, that our prayer and I's wedding will be a witness testimony to many folks who will be there. Lord, not only it's the ceremony itself will be a witness, Father, but the conversations, the brethren, Lord, speak of Christ, Lord. Father, it's our prayer and I's desire that you receive honor and glory that time, more so, Lord, that truth would go out, that people would hear and have a witness, Lord, of people for Jesus, with their faults and their sins and shortcomings, Lord. Yet, Lord, we've settled the issue of Christ, Lord. And so long for those that we love and care for in this life, Father, to know that greatness, Lord. And that end game and outcome for Jesus forever and ever. Yeah, I do pray, Father, you want open opportunities. Our behavior, our conversations will be brought honest. And go with the God honored. Thank you for the body. It's helped us so much. Pray we'll finish with all your people, Lord. Just thank you again and just help us, Father, to take of Christ and all these times, Lord, trials and blessings and all things going on in our life.
Father, we do thank you for this time that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father. Jesus Christ, too, is all points to church group of the word, fulfillment, everything. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that you placed us in the armor in us because of Christ's great righteousness, which he has given us. Yes, you provided us. Help us as adopted sons to praise you and worship, love the brethren as we should, and as we desire. Help us, Father, to sit on the hill, be able to be those ambassadors of Christ, and speak a sure word, infuse society, your life. Help us, Father, as your people, the men just seem hell-bent, sending their way to destruction. Father, you help us, help our families, help others to be faithful, courageous, to the end, from the roots, as we should. We love you, and thank you, Father, for the song, man in his age, Father. It's not how we start the verse, it's how we finish it. And that you cause to finish the verse. Thank you, Father. Here are our requests. You're with our lost loved ones. Bless you be with us now, Father, as we seek fellowship. Prayers from the word. Change us, Father. Change our hearts. so that Christ can be on blanking dispositions. Was it his great name?
Amen.